here appreciate Elder Epley, and I couldn't count the times, amen, that I've heard Elder Epley preach, and he evermore blessed my soul. Amen. A very knowledgeable, amen, very, very precious man of God. Amen. That's preached his gospel for many, many years and helped many, many people. And I hope today that God allows Brother Reisinger to help somebody. I'm looking forward to this revival. Amen. I'm just cornbread and beans, folks. I seen some of y'all looking at me, and I was looking at you. Kind of like Brother Mustangs. I was over there here a while back, and I've been preaching for him for years, but I hadn't preached for him in a long, long time. And he got up, and he was kind of teasing me. He said, he looked at his church. He said, "You wondering the same thing I'm wondering?" He said, "Can he still preach or not?" And when I got up and I said, "You know what? I was kind of looking at some of you all. You was wondering if I could preach or not. And I was wondering if you all could take it or not." Now, if you don't like to laugh, you're dismissed. Because I believe in having Holy Ghost good time. I don't believe God's going to strike me dead for smiling. Laughing. Come on, I got joy like a river. Woo! A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Some of you'd smile, you wouldn't have to take all them pills you take. Some of you get happy. Woo! Come on. Man, now they're telling us laughter. Amen. Gets the job done. Well, my Lord, we've been doing that ever since we've been in church. Maybe that's why. Oh, well, let me go on. I might get in trouble here. Amen. But, you know, it's a good life living for the Lord, folks. I don't believe you. I believe you can be holy and still be happy. I went to a church one time, preached about three nights, nothing moved. Finally, I hit the nail on the head. I said, "I know what y'all's problem is. Y'all's problem is you're too holy to be happy." All right. Well, come on. I despise a martyr mentality. I'm sorry, I do. I don't believe I got to walk around. Oh, I believe in holiness. I gotta wear long sleeves. I can't have no television. Man, I don't get it with me, folks. I'm telling you, this is the best thing ever happened to me. I'm not just trying to say that. You go ask them. I just left. I told them there. This is the best thing that ever happened to me. Amen. You can be seated. 38 years ago, I walked through the doors of an apostolic church, nothing but a drunkard, a dopehead, and a thief. Hair down on my shoulders. Huh? But when I walked in here, I found something I didn't find out there. Never had no dope. Makes me feel like Jesus makes me feel. I ain't never drank anything out of a can or a bottle that ever made me feel as good as Jesus does. And I'm even ashamed to say that. I ain't never smoked nothing that ever made me feel as good as Jesus makes me feel. You can be seated. Amen. You got to kind of give me a little break here. I'm trying to get some butterflies out of my stomach here. Amen. But I appreciate Elder Epley. And I'm listening, folks. I'm going to tell some things and revert back to some history. Now, I don't want you to ever think for one minute that Brother Reisinger is trying to magnify sin or minimize sin. I'll tell you, let me put it that way. I'm not minimizing sin. I'm trying to maximize mercy. All I want to do is tell you what God did for me and do for you. When I came in, I repented. I got baptized. Baptized me in Jesus' name. Come out of the water speaking in tongues. I went and got my hair cut. And I've been living for God ever since. And this is the best thing ever happened to me. We had an old Sunday school superintendent. He used to get up on Sunday morning like this. He'd say, I thank God for life, health, and strength. Back then, I was a lot younger than I am now. I thought, man, that's silly. That comes with the package. But it don't. Here I am several years later saying on Sunday morning, I thank God for life, health, and strength. You got those things, you ought to be thankful this morning. You look over there and you got your wife sitting beside you, you ought to be thankful. Got your little kids over here in a Sunday school class, you ought to be thankful. Amen. I took too much time already. 2 Samuel chapter 8. Again, I want to say thank you, Elder Epley, for letting us come. I come for one reason, and that's to be a blessing. You've heard preachers that can preach circles around me. And I know that. Amen. I didn't come here to compete with somebody. I come here to help somebody. I want to bring a brick for the building. And I'm going to preach a little bit about it here in a minute. And kind of like old Pop Daniel when he's stoking up that stove there in that sanctuary. Amen. At Jack's Creek. I'm bringing a log for the fire. Come on. 2 Samuel chapter 8. Beginning of verse number 1. Will you help me preach? Well, if there ain't no more than that going to help me, I don't even know if I'm going to start. Let me ask you again. Anybody going to help me? All right. We might have revival. Amen. I appreciate you. I hope you understand, Brother Rye Singer. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1. And after this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. And David took Methegama out of the hand of the Philistines. And he smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground, even with two lines, kind of like this. I'm sure I'll find out what this is all about. I sure it ain't holding nothing up. If it does, I hope it keeps on holding it. No, I heard somebody already say the blood. But smote Moab, measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. Even with two lines, measured he to put to death, and with one full line to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. I want your good pastor, if he would, to please lead us in prayer. Would you pray that God's perfect will be done today? Come on. Praise God. Amen. You can be seated. Wow. Amen. Let me try to help somebody this morning. David is a man after God's own heart. So he subdues Moab. I don't know. History says, you know, he brought his mom and dad down there and supposedly the king of Moab slew him. I don't know if that'd be true or not, but it's food for thought. Here he is, subduing the Moabites. And he stretches out a line, makes them lay down on the ground. He pulls out a line. And he says, die. Then he pulls out another line and says, die. Then I like that third line. Look what the Bible says. On that third line, it said one full line. Woo! Fill that one up. You know why? Because that is the line of God's mercy. I don't know how to explain it, but this is the way I try to. When it came Brother Reisinger's time, amen, I could see the line of judgment being stretched out, die. The line of judgment stretched out, die. And then it said one full line. I'm just using my imagination. As the line's being stretched, I can see where Brother Reisinger was more out than he was in. But then it said one full line. And they stretched that line until it included me. Woo! I didn't deserve this, folks. Amen. I hope you don't think you deserved it either. None of us deserve this. But it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Amen. Jacob said, amen, I am not worthy of the least of all of the mercies, plural. I didn't need it just once. I've needed it several times in my life. Some of you and I both are going to need it from here to there. Hand of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Because he said, with my staff I passed over this Jordan. And now I'm become two bands. Woo! Man, I don't know how to, you know, even preach like this sometimes. But man, I'm telling you what, God's mercy is amazing. Mercy implies compassion that forbears punishing even when justice demands it. It's kindness especially shown to a wrongdoer or an enemy. Woo! It's leniency shown toward a guilty person. Kind of like the little old boy that was standing before the judge and his mama got just beside herself. She jumped up and said, Your Honor, have mercy on my son. The judge looked at her and said, Ma'am, your son don't deserve mercy. She looked back at him and said, Your Honor, you're right. But if he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. Let me say this before I get in here. Amen. The old Legion boy. After the devils are out, he's clothed and he's in his right mind. Jesus said, go home to your friends. And tell them what good things the Lord hath done for thee. And how that he hath had compassion on thee. And that's what I want to do for you this morning. I just want to tell you how God had compassion on Brother Reisinger. I don't deserve to be here. I've got friends that are in a cold, Christless grave. And here I am, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Got the revelation of one God. I know who Jesus is. Jesus is the Father. Jesus is the Son. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Because all these three are one. I call it the chance of all chances. Out of 8 billion people, God spoke to Brother Reisinger. Against all the odds, you'd have looked at me, amen, just a punk kid. Smart aleck, been in jail. And here I am. It's kind of like one man put it like this. Amen. How'd all them animals get on that ark? Hope you didn't think old Chick Bowdry became Noah. Didn't happen that way, folks. Noah didn't go out there and catch all them animals. God just talked. He just touched that old lion. He touched that old lioness. She started heading for the ark. Brother Rice Singer was in North St. Louis, a drug addict, a dope head, a thief, ready to blow my brains out. And God said, whoop, head for the ark, boy. Oh, you all ain't real. Some of you done forgot where he brought you from. Brother Reisinger ain't forgot where he brought him from. Woo! I gotta hurry. Amen. Mercy. Amen. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth. That's Psalm 86 and verse number 15. Woo! I've titled this many things. Mercy separated me. The Lion of Mercy. Man, when misery meets mercy. Then I finally settled on one. The greatest miracle of them all. I'm going to tell you how I got that thought. I was preaching for old Pop Daniel in Jack's Creek, Tennessee. We was in revival years ago. Old Pop got up talking about all them stories. Babies raised from the dead. I was sitting there like Brother Epley was, and the elder would be up there leading the service. He'd look over and say, Brother Reisinger, you ever been in a service like this? And he'd tell one of them stories where a baby was raised from the dead. Looked at me one next night. He said, Brother Reisinger, you ever been in a service like this? He said, we was in San Jose, California. Everybody took their eyeglasses off. Stomped them in the name of Jesus. Don't do that today. I don't have the faith Pop Daniel's got. But he looked at me and he said, you ever been in a service like that? Some of them put them back on, some of them didn't. He said his Sunday school superintendent couldn't read a large print Bible with glasses. But after that night, he could read a fine print Bible without glasses. Woo! Some of you know these stories. You've been there, done that, and got the t-shirt, long sleeve. Thought I'd throw that in there. But anyway, old Pop Daniel just kept it up every night until I got so intimidated. Oh, y'all ain't real. I was intimidated. I thought, God, my little puny stories can't keep up with this old elder. Man, he just kept it up. Money in lock boxes. And I went to prayer. I said, God, I don't know what to do. It's kind of like letting a Rottweiler loose and then bringing in a Chihuahua to back him up. Oh, I'm having a hard time here this morning. That's why I told him. Hey, that's why I feel with Elder Epley here. All this biblical knowledge and all that. And then me get up here with this pea shooter I got. But anyway, he intimidated me so bad I had to go to prayer. Got on my hands and knees. I said, God, I don't know what to do. This old elder's got me so intimidated. I'm getting embarrassed to even get behind the pulpit. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, I want you to go in there tonight and I want you to preach the greatest miracle of them all. And I thought, my little old mind began to pick up on that like a kaleidoscope. I was thinking about blinded eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, people getting out of wheelchairs, cancers falling off. What is the greatest miracle of them all? And then it dawned on me. How did I find my way into an apostolic church? Why did God show Brother Reisinger mercy when I deserved his worst judgments? That's the greatest miracle of them all, is how you got from where you were to where you are today. You ought to be thankful. You ought to be grateful. You ought to be happy. You ought to run these aisles. You ought to jump up and down. You ought to clap your hands. You ought to shout hallelujah. You ought to say thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. It's the greatest miracle of them all. It's how God gave Brother Rising a revelation there's only one God. When I got water baptized, they water baptized me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In case you didn't know it, you got baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We just know what that name is. It's Jesus. Jesus is the name of the Father. Jesus is the name of the Son. Jesus is the name of the Holy Ghost. Don't beat around the bush. Take them to Matthew 28 and 19 and get it over with. We ain't got nothing to be ashamed of. Woo! You can be seated. But to me, this is the greatest miracle of them all. I've got buddies, and I'm going to tell you about a few of them. Hey, man, that... Amen. Makes it even more merciful. When I stop and look back, when I was 15 years old, my mom died. Well, I don't know how to explain that sometimes, except tell you like this. When my mom died, something inside of me died with her. All right. That was where I first made the wrong turn. I started hanging around with people I shouldn't hang around. You know why we preach you got to be careful who you hang around? Is because whoever you hang... See, I got to hanging around the wrong people. You know what the next thing I got to do? Things I shouldn't have been doing. And that's why we warn you. Be careful who you hang around. That's why we try to tell these little boys. Man, we're not trying to be holier now. But we just ain't... Sinners and us ain't got... Little boy ain't got no business dating a sinner girl. Little girl ain't got no business dating a sinner boy. They ain't got nothing in common. I'm scared to say some of this because I don't want our visitors to misunderstand. But you see, we came from a mighty long way. And we just don't want to go back. We're not trying to be holier now. We're not trying to say we're better than anybody else. But see, I'm not going back to a dope house. I'm not going back to a tavern. But if I start hanging around with some of my old friends, that's exactly what I'll do. Oh, please. Please, you visitors, don't misunderstand Brother Reisinger. Hey, ma'am, we just know, ma'am, we've seen too. You know, here's what we think. We think we're going to win them. They win us. Pretty soon, the little girl, hey, man, bringing the little boy to church, pretty soon he's got her out doing things she shouldn't be doing. Going places she shouldn't go. Every parent in here should have said amen. Let me leave that alone. 15 years old, my mother died, and something died inside. I went out into the streets of North St. Louis, hanging around the wrong crowd. doing the wrong things. I'll never forget my old daddy telling me, son, be careful. I'll tell you what will happen, son, when your money runs out, so will your friends. I said, oh, Dad, come on. You're an old fogey. You know what I mean? These guys are my raps. They'll die for me. They'll die with me. I lived long enough to see my old daddy knew what he was talking about. Because when my money ran out, so did my friends. So at 22, my dad died. When my dad died, that's when I really tossed the towel in, could care less. So about 17 years old, we were walking down the street one night. This is where I even picked up this message in the first place. 17 years old, something on North St. Louis said, go home. So I went home. For once in my life, I listened. I went home. My buddy went one block down the road. His name was Pinky. Went into a G&B grill, ordered a bowl of chili, and got in a fight. Man pulled out a gun, shot Pinky in the head. Took him out into eternity. 17 years old. I didn't even know this till I got in church. The Lord began to deal with me. You know what it was, son, that told you to go home that night? I said, no. He said it was my mercy. Judgment was just down the street, and I didn't want you involved in it. That's why I say it's the greatest miracle of them all. You know where Brother Reisinger would have been if he'd have went down to that G&B grill with Pinky? We'd have both been shot in the head probably, and I'd be an eternity lost without God. But here I am, repentant, baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm on my way to heaven. Woo! Come on. My. I'm thankful this morning. Please don't misunderstand, Brother Reisinger. Amen. It ain't nothing I did. It's everything that God did. My dad was a carpenter for, I guess, 25, 26 years. And you know what? The last 2 years of his life, I was blessed to be able to work with him a little bit. And I was a laborer, and he was a carpenter. And I'd come home. My dad was a talented man. Play a guitar, play a harmonica, play a fiddle. And I'd come home, my dad be in his back bedroom. He'd be playing his guitar and he'd be singing. Well, I wasn't living for God back then. And I thought, man, what in the world is my dad doing? Why ain't he out enjoying life and doing something? And I just remember focusing a little bit on it. One day we went on the job and we were both sitting there side by side. And I was with my foreman. Amen. It was an old black guy, and he was my foreman, and he was a very good friend of mine, and couldn't read or write, but he could build a house from the ground up. And I was sitting there, I looked over, and my old dad threw his head back. All of a sudden, we got him out. They called the paramedics. They got there. Amen. They was giving my daddy CPR. They'd blow that old breath in him, and when they did, my hope would rise, and so would his little stomach. And then all of a sudden, amen, the breath that man blew into his lungs just came right back out. And my daddy went out into eternity. And it wasn't until I got in church, and I don't know if y'all ever do make mistakes like this, but I got a little beside myself one day, and I said, God, I don't understand. Why did you save me and let my daddy go to hell? And he spoke to me and said, son, you remember when your daddy was in that back bedroom playing that guitar? On them nights you'd come home? I said, yes. He said, that was my mercy dealing with your daddy for the last time. Elder Epley knows. Amen. Old Brother Darty, Central City, Kentucky, was in St. Louis, Missouri. He told me he baptized my mama and my daddy both in Jesus' name. Come on. But they didn't stay that way. They wound up going back into an Assembly of God church, getting rebaptized. I never told Brother Daugherty that. Come on. And there's my daddy in eternity. God's, I'm not trying to steer you, but what if God's mercy is dealing with you today? For the last time. We don't know. You know what? I get a little tussled sometimes. And people say, wait a minute, Brother Reisinger, can somebody cross the line? You want me to tell you a man that crossed the line in the Bible? His name was Shimeaz. He went out there, cursed David, made fun of David, and David forgave him. Then he told Solomon, you know how to handle Shimei. And Solomon said, Shimei, come here. My dad forgave you. I want you to build you a house in Jerusalem. And I want you to stay there. And the day you leave will be the day you die. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, folks. What if God saved some of you, brought you into this truth, amen, gave you a good preacher, and then said, now if you leave, you're going to die. I'll tell you what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't leave for nothing. You couldn't drag me out of here. You couldn't whoop me hard enough to make me get out of here. Here's what I tell them, brother. Amen. I'm a preacher, but I don't have to preach to be saved. If I find myself getting up under a load that's too heavy for me to carry, I'm going to come somewhere and sit down on the front pew. And I'm going to tell them, tie me here. And whoever's my pastor, I'm going to say, preach to me. I'm not going to hell. My wife's not going to hell. My kids ain't going to hell. I'll swallow my pride. I don't want to go to hell. Woo! Come on, mama. Your kids are more important than whatever you're searching for or seeking. I don't know where we ever got this thing, but being a mama is still the highest calling for a woman that I know of. Come on. I'm glad my mama was a mama. I'm glad that lady right over there, hey man, we got two boys. Hey man, got a couple little grandchildren. Hey man, she was a mama. And still is. She wouldn't care if you were 6'6 and weighed 300 pounds. You say something about her babies, you better look out. You can be seated. Don't you be ashamed to say I'm a mother. Don't you be ashamed to say I'm a housewife. You know, I try to tell people, I know I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but my wife ain't got to pray all your kids through. No. I'm the evangelist. Yeah. You know what her job is? Take care of me. Hello, 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 operator. I was talking to Racine, Missouri, and I just got disconnected. Come on, mama, you're important. Mama, you're valuable. Mama, you're worth your weight in gold. He who rocks the cradle rules the world. Take care of them babies. Oh, I'm telling you, come on, mamas. I ain't got time right now, but mama, don't let them little babies get too far out of your sight. I'm ashamed to say this, but man, we got some people In 2015, it just ain't got a right mind. And we got, I know we're living in that age and hour where you got to be careful how you say things. You'd be in a courthouse tomorrow. But be careful, Mama. Don't let them little babies get too far out of your sight. Because I'm ashamed to say, but we got perverts in the land. I'm sorry. There was just a lot of times we'd go places and people want our kids to stay all night. We just said, I'm sorry. We don't want our kids staying all night. All it takes is one night to ruin their life. I can give you illustrations, but I'm not. I can give you illustrations. Shimei, build you a house in Jerusalem and you stay right here. And don't you ever cross that line, Shimei. For the day you cross that line, Shimei, you die. 3 years went by. Ask you something. What do you need outside of this apostolic church? You know what? Here's what I got to say. Here's the best testimony you could ever have. All you young boys, all you young ladies, listen to me. Here's the best testimony you could ever have. I ain't never smoked the first cigarette. I ain't never drank the first drop of liquor. I ain't never said the first cuss word. I stayed pure and holy till the day I got married. Well, y'all leaving me out here all by myself. That's a testimony I wanted my boys to have. Their daddy was an old drunkard and a dope head. Amen. But I don't want my boys to have that testimony. You ain't got to go out and come back in to have a testimony. You stay in. That's the best testimony anybody could ever have. I don't know nothing about drugs. I don't know nothing about... All I know is man, one God, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost. Jimmy, I stay right here. Stay right here, young person. And you'll be happy. You can be seated. I'm just trying to help somebody, folks. I'm not trying to pastor his church. And I'm not trying to parent your children. I'm just trying to take a little bit of time here and help somebody. You ought to thank a preacher that loves your kids enough to tell them the truth, even when it hurts. My boys know today, one of them's in Georgia, one of them's in Akron, Ohio. I tell them like this, you get crossed up with the preacher, you're crossed up with me. You want to make a rebel out of your child?
All right.
Huh?
All right. Preacher!
Go home and chew on the preacher today. Go home and chew on the pastor today. Go home and chew on the church today. And you'll be getting them out of jail. You'll be getting them out of a dope house. You'll be getting them out of a 3, 4, 5 marriage situation. God, why'd I say all that? Jimmy, I stay right here. 3 years goes by. And all of a sudden, Jimmy, I, amen, gets that familiar area, that comfort zone. And two little old servants that ain't worth, amen, nothing, take off. And he wants them two servants more than he wants his life. It's amazing what gets our attention. and causes us to lose everything we got. I ain't got time to get on that, but Shimei, amen, you can't tell me that when he got to that borderline, he didn't, I don't know if it's about like some of us, you know, if you, today, don't tell me you sneak around and try to look at something you ain't supposed to look at. Then something says, put it down. Get away from it. It's easy the first time. Hard the first time. It gets easier after that. Shimei, he went to get them two servants. Snatched them up. Brought them back. Amen. But he stepped over the line. Solomon said, go get Shimei. Said, Shimei, come here. Stand right there. I told you, didn't I? Didn't I tell you the day you left, son, it'll be the day you die? I don't understand, parents. When I looked at a man one day, I said, go ahead and leave. But I said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen when you leave. You're going to lose your kids. He looked at me, man, not me. It wasn't even 6 months his daughter backslid. Went through the whole 9 yards. You would have thought he'd have said, hold it.
That's
right. Brother Reisinger was right. I'm going back. No.
Yes, yes.
He just kept on trucking. Now he's got a son. I don't know where that son is. I've lost contact with him. But it wouldn't surprise me a bit if he ain't backslid too. Let me give you a little advice. The closer you stay to this man, come on. Closer you stay to this man.
Right.
I used to have a little old staff somebody gave me, a shepherd's staff. I used to hold it out every once in a while. Hey, then I'd hold it up like this. I said, you know what? As long as you stay within distance of that, I'd be. I mean,
right.
But when you get out farther than that, I can't use the staff anymore. I've got to put the staff up and I've got to get the rod out. Shepherd, let me close. I've done took a long time this morning. Shimei, you should have stayed, son. He said, Benai or whoever it was, one of them might fall on him, and he fell on him. I'm not trying to scare you to death today about living for God, but it's a serious thing. I know people that get many chances. And I've known people that only got one.
That's true. That's
true. I'm closing. Musicians, if you'll come in, I'll tell one more story and get out of your way. My best friend, before I came to live for God, was named Roger Chitwood. And that's why I used to title it years ago, Mercy Separated Me, because that's exactly what happened. Me and Chitwood was walking side by side in an old dope house. We've been in jail together. We fought with each other. We fought against each other. We fought for each other. And God's mercy came down like that old chariot and them horses that separated Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Well, that's what happened to me and Chitwood. God's mercy came down, separated me and Chitwood. I came in the church. He stayed out in the dope house. I wasn't living for God all that long, and he come and visited me one day. Brought his car. Had bullet holes in the hood of his car where the little old punk gangsters in my neighborhood were shooting at him over a drug deal. I did everything I could do, folks, to try to convince Chitwood to live for God. One day he brought his fiance over to me. I'm talking about a boy that was Roman Catholic. Knew nothing about living for God. Never heard a message like you're hearing this morning. His dad was a wino. His mom had to go to work. And the kids were left raising themselves. Roger Chitwood didn't know anything. And I want to show you God's mercy. He came and visited me one day. Brought his fiance over. I was kneeling down by the car and I was talking to him, telling him about the blessings of God, the youth rallies, the fellowship meetings, the joy of the Lord, the peace of God, the merry heart that doeth good. All of a sudden, Chip was sitting there and he looks over at me and he says, "Stanley!" He yells out, scare me. He said, "Stanley! Surely there's something to it!" And I said, "What are you talking about, Chip?" And he said, "There's got to be something to what you're talking to me about." He looked at me and he said, "Stanley, you've been talking to me for 45 minutes. He said, "You ain't stopped smiling yet." I looked at him and I said, "Chip Wood, there is something to it. It's real." He would call me up at midnight hour. I'd beg him, "Please come, Chip Wood. Please come. Hurry. Hurry, Chip Wood. Hurry." He did like probably some of you are going to do this morning. He put it off. "Wait till tonight. Wait till next week. Wait till next month. Wait till then. Wait till..." And he just put it off. And one day, amen, I don't know what happened, but they said a little old guy, a little gangster in my neighborhood. Chip Wood was the kind of guy, he's about like this one minute. And he loved to fight, man. And then, you know, and so they said a little old gangster pulled a gun on him. He took the gun away, beat him up real bad. I don't know. Anyway, time lapsed. Broad daylight. They lured Chip Wood into a tavern. When he walked through the doors, they shut it and bolted it. There were men in there waiting on him. They began to beat him with beer bottles, ashtrays, chairs. Ain't no telling what all else, folks. Until they beat the life completely out of him. They told me that they threw him out in the alley and it was raining and they put a door on top of him and jumped up and down and laughed over what they'd done. They called me and they wanted me to go to the funeral. So I went. When I walked through the doors of that funeral home, here come this little woman running, throwing her arms around me. "Stanley, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I heard you're going to church and I heard you're living for God." You know who it was? It was Chip Wood's mama. Man. I had to walk by a casket of man the exact same. I've been living for God 38 years. Chip Wood's been in eternity for those 38 years. His face was swollen, still had lacerations. I had to walk by a casket and look at a man who screamed at me one day, "Stanley, there has to be something to it." You know there's something to it this morning. You can feel it right now. You can feel it right now. And I had to look at him and say, "Chip Wood, why did you wait?" The greatest miracle of them all is that God would think enough to lay it on a man of God's heart and have revival in Mission, Missouri, bring a little old fella in here named Brother Reisinger and preach to you this message this morning. You think that's all a coincidence, all. We beg your pardon. You're here on purpose. God ordained all of this because He loves you and He don't want you to die and go to hell. Chip Wood, why did you wait? Chip Wood. Chip Wood. Why didn't you come, Chip Wood, when you had a chance? Now he's in eternity. I could tell you more, but I ain't got time. While they play and while they sing, if you're here this morning and this is the greatest miracle of them all, won't you come around these altars?
Don't let me cross over.
Let the sinner sing. It's God.
You're mine.
You'll be surprised what a week's difference can make in a backslider. And all that stuff that they were delivered from and free from and shouted because it was no longer in their life. Stands right on the other side of the line. And everything that you've tried to do, live for, gets checked out. Just because of some bad decisions. Thank you, Brother Rice Singer. Thank you for preaching to me. Amen. I want you to know when a preacher is up here preaching, I am praying that he talks to you. What kind of pastor would I be if I wasn't praying that? But all the time that I'm praying that he talks to you, I've said, God, you speak to me. Remind me, Lord. Remind me where you found me. And remind me where I am at. And help me to know where I could be. Brother and sister on my dad's side, both alcoholics. My sister on my mother's side died an uneventful death. She's dead before she hit the floor from an aneurysm. My brother, we suspect drugs. What we suspect. Never, of course, we know used any around us, but that's what we suspect. And really none of my family, except some long distant family, has any desire for God at all. And here I'm here. Here I am, here, a product of mercy. Amen. Now, Brother Ogle's mother's been real bad in the hospital, and Brother John's his dad, 80-some years old, in Miami, had a light stroke. And I told them, I said, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for y'all. I said, but you know, if Brother Ogle buries his mother, and Brother John's buries his dad, he'll say, I'll meet you in the morning. I buried my mother and dad, and I said goodbye. Someone wrote a book years ago called The Long Goodbye. I don't know about you. I'm glad I'm in God's wonderful house, that he found me. I wasn't looking for him, but he came look something in my heart. Was tender and he came looking for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Brother Reisinger, reminding us today.